fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, darkness. Everything has a beginning. In this case, we will say another beginning, or perhaps a new beginning. I remember when I was a teen, perhaps a touch before I was an actual teenager. I just remember receiving a gift from my mom, maybe for a birthday, a fancy diary that had a little lock on the side of it. It was shiny and white. I'm pretty certain there was a pink heart on the front of it. The paper inside was pink with gray extra wide lines to host my very bubbly teenage handwriting that I had to have hearts above the letter I. I stopped writing when I was about 14. My mother found it and read it. She divulged this after a 20-minute deafening silence. I was in trouble for something else and had gone missing. She picked me up and we were about 20 minutes into a 45-minute or longer car ride. Full disclosure, right before her discovery, I had lost my virginity to a boy by accident while we were watching World Cup soccer. This had unintentionally occurred on her bed. I don't remember why I had brought him in to watch it on her bed, but I definitely hadn't planned to sleep with him. My memory of the entire thing is just a lot of pain. The pain was not from the sex. At 14, most of us, well, in my era, wore ridiculously tight jeans. My aunts in Boston would send clothing that was sometimes too small. And what was also small was my underdeveloped teen brain. I could not possibly be asked to use the words and wait to send the jeans back to the East Coast to get them replaced in a size that actually fit me. I mean, can you imagine the anguish of waiting for a new pair in the size that fit my body properly? It would have been sent by mule, and I was required by law to wear them to school as soon as our holiday break was over. Everyone knows that the most important day is not the day that you actually get your presents, but the day that you show off your presents to your schoolmates. If I had to remove one of my legs just to fit into those jeans, that was just what was going to happen. The main memory I have of my first sexy time was not very sexy. The poor teenage dude who was so self-assigned the task of removing my jeans did not know that he should have brought heavy equipment. So by the time he had removed them, I'm not sure if I had skin on my legs or not. I just remember thinking, oh, you're done. Good. Because that wasn't very pleasant. I also was trying to figure out in my head how to get dressed again. Because I definitely was not painting those jeans back on in front of him. We were watching soccer because he was into soccer. A friend in elementary and junior high school was a goalie for a soccer team with, I believe, all other boys. So she was the only girl. I went to all of her games to help out with snacks, in other words, eat snacks, and flirt with boys. To this day, I know nothing about soccer except sometimes you bounce it off your head. You aim for the other net. There's a lot of running involved. And there was an awkward photo on the internet for a long time where a gentleman's bits were blasted on CNN. I've been to live soccer games as a grown-ass woman, and honestly, our local Timbers Army was better than the game. Watch them. Chant with them. They're amazing. Previously, my entries into my pink and white little girl diary were just my weekly report. It started off clearly that I love with the name crossed off. Actually, it was a long list of names crossed off, and then the latest name being my future partner. The entry with the soccer incident was just pretty short and more about me being mortified that he had to peel my jeans off. The soccer game was more interesting, and that I felt horrible that it happened on my mom's bed. Like, ew. I really wasn't that interested in the guy, but he was sweet and almost the last person in our group who was still a virgin was me. I was tired of everyone and their obsession with who was still intact. My mom was reading my words without my permission. That was the last straw, especially because she had revealed what she read at the 20-minute mark. The 20-minute mark I'm referring to is when she was driving. So 20 minutes into the drive, my mother was driving her Toyota MR2, which is a sports car from the 80s, 90s. She's driving at Mach 2 down the treacherous stretch of freeway in the left lane. She started out calm, and then, just as she's taking the turn, the treacherous turn that everyone gets in wrecks on, she starts slapping me in an unhinged and deranged manner. This is one of the few times my mother actually scared me. Both of us were scream crying as if we were about to be murdered. We get home. I throw a proper temper tantrum involved running away from home a week later, which is another really long story. The next time I picked up a pen to journal was in high school. I don't even remember what prompted it. Probably I had a lot to say, but I found as I entered college, my writing increased. I did move quite far from home, leaving everyone behind, so perhaps it served as therapy. The fourth year out of my 5.5 year long relationship, we were having a lot of problems. His solution, randomly, one day, was to read all of my journals. I'd write poetry, I'd doodle, vent, even talk myself down. I expressed on multiple occasions in my journal that his younger brother and I had a really weird connection, because we did. I met his brother right after I had started seeing him. It was pretty creepy how much the chemistry was there, but I'd never have done anything. I was merely stating in my journal, honestly, that I hated how uncomfortable it was. The amazing part is, when he confessed that he had read all of them, he kept saying he had read everything, but he never actually put into words the things I wrote about his brother, or really about anything. He just said he'd read them. And I really don't feel that I had written anything out of line, but these were my private thoughts, so completely unedited. He wanted to talk about my journals and my entries. I stopped talking after simply saying no, just refusing. I picked up the pretty large stack of journals he had left.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Left on our bed, I walked them to the fireplace in our two-bedroom, two-bath apartment in Vancouver, Washington. I know it took me at least an hour, probably at least two, to burn every single page. He kept talking, even crying, and on occasion, I would actually look at him while ripping another page out, lighting it on fire, and setting it off to drift into its newly brick prison. It was dramatic on another level, and I realized at some point that if started feeling good, like I was setting it free. I'd become a bit addicted to writing all the time, but I was just as easy to let it go, and so I stopped. I think there were more than 10 journals there, and they were not fancy. Most of them were three-ring spiral notebooks. I do remember a friend or two asking me if I was worried about people reading them. I love paper, I love pens, I love adding ink to paper, but I also find myself consumed with the wrong thoughts around that. I become obsessed with how my handwriting looks. I have great handwriting, but I also have several varieties of handwriting, so I'll get obsessed with it not being perfect, or that I should have a different version of it, but I've longed to write again. I've been told, even as a teenager, that I should storytell my life. My experiences, the way I approach things, were all a complete chemical cocktail that's very complex. I have pretty severe OCD, and if you know what that actually is, then you understand the many difficulties. I've struggled with it since I was 8, and I have zero clue as to what my issue was. I just knew that I was very different from other people. I felt very alone. I thought that I was insane. I was not formally diagnosed until finally I saw a therapist who was right for me. That was in my 20s. I know how hard it is to get help and even to have the conversations leading you down the path. Getting diagnosed properly opened my eyes to a lot of things. I had been doing many things to help myself without even realizing it, and identifying the things that I was and had been doing very wrong for years. Even just verifying that friends have thanked me for being vocal about my OCD and my struggles and with things that helped me. I try to do something for myself for my birthday each year. I turned 50 in April. Originally, my plan was that in January, I would do the podcast. Although the original idea for a podcast versus a book started probably years ago, since I'm not restricted to pages locked in a cover. January came and went, and I mentally ping-ponged back and forth the structure, tried to focus my podcast into conforming to norms. I did start my website, which practically wrote itself, darknessmeoldfriend.com, and I jumped right into my head, and it's me. If you already know me, it makes complete sense. I feel like if you hear my words, you'll get it. I then set my deadline to my 50th birthday. And that would be my birthday goal, which is why it is now February, and my 51st birthday is approaching. I think I needed the time before committing, truly. I've always rejected doing what everyone else is doing. I'm grateful to a dear friend who has a wonderful podcast with a family member of hers. She was amazing to bounce ideas off of. I asked a bunch of questions, listened to her very sound advice and ideas. The best, I was mostly wanting an old friend who was encouraging to just say, do it. And I appreciate that I have the privilege of being supported throughout my life by quite a few people. My heart goes out to people who don't feel supported because it does ease the burden a bit when you're having a rough go. My newest, latest, and this version that I'm recording in honor of Valentine's Day. I love Valentine's Day. My favorite memories were making our big heart holders for our Valentines and giving each other candy and Valentines. Me and a close friend ended up at a garage sale as children, riding our bikes around. About a block away from my house, I spent every dollar that I had buying this woman's fantastic items. When I brought them home, I insisted my mother walk over to this woman's house with me, saying, "You are going to be friends with her." It actually worked, and my mom basically became besties with this fantastic Sicilian woman. Her beautiful house had water features inside, a beautiful garden, and French doors. I actually thought someday I will have French doors, and I do. She also had a white convertible and would send holiday cards of her posing in front of her convertible, parked in front of a waterfall, holding balloons. And a bunch of the balloons were actually hearts. My now four women that I was going to be were her, Grace Jones, and both of the leads from Working Girl, yes, Sigourney Weaver and Melanie Griffith, both had really good merits to the characters. I wanted to be this sophisticated when I grew up. My mom's new bestie sold the house near us and moved to the hills in Portland. Her view off her beautiful balcony was Mount Hood in the city. I couldn't go out there because my vertigo would kick in due to the edges having no railing. She would always have ginger ale poured into a whiskey decanter so that I could pour myself a drink in a fancy crystal highball glass. Hysterically, neither her or my mom really drank, but when I look at decanters, I think of her. I remember she made us quiche, and I had to spend a ridiculous amount of time explaining to me what a quiche was. When I moved back from college, I attended her annual Valentine's Day party. She had gorgeous desserts everywhere. Chocolates, truffles strewn on every table. There were paper hearts, confetti, crystals. Her long black dress had red hearts on its lowest section. A friend of hers played piano for the party, and I requested her to play my favorite song of music, which is Someone to Watch Over Me by Gershwin. As a teenager, I spent a weird amount of time in the downtown Portland Nordstrom. Don't ask me why. I don't even remember, but I'd always find a reason to linger in that store. Their lobby had a pianist, and I would drop a tip into their tip jar, asking them to play me that song, to where I barely had to ask.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
In addition to music, incredible food, and lovely people, there was always a full champagne glass at these parties. My boyfriend and I were in our 20s, much younger than almost everyone else attending, so we felt pretty sophisticated. He always made a huge deal out of Valentine's Day, but those parties really made us feel fancy for the evening. In my 30s, my partner was rather hateful about Valentine's Day. I think he'd had a bad time with it, with a girlfriend from his past. Honestly, I've never been a person who demanded something for holidays, and I thought people who were insane about it, with like venomous hatred or extreme over-the-top love, were a bit off. I just love witnessing the cool stuff people come up with for something to do or gift ideas for each other. But I don't have to be a part of it, and I never have been a jealous person. If anything, I love to share things that I see others do or that have been done for me for ideas that they can do for another person or for their person. Later in my relationship with the true Valentine's Day hater, he actually said the sweetest thing about realizing that he wanted to do stuff out of love for me versus hating the day based on past trauma. That statement actually drove me to look at many things differently, trying to approach things more openly. Or, if I don't like something, try to see why others enjoy it. I appreciate seeing things through someone else's eyes, making me adore something I might not have before. At the very least, it helps me respect other people's opinions and desires. It's really nice to be told you inspired somebody to do better. We have a lot of experiences trying to do stuff on Valentine's Day. Pro tip, have a meal at home. I can't stress how many horrific dinners we had because restaurants would overbook. We heard that a favorite restaurant of ours was having a special meal for the holiday. It turned out that they decided to roll out a new reservation system for that night, which they later learned did not include reservations taken by phone. The restaurant was apparently triple booked. We were confused walking in. We walked through a sea of people, figuring they'd be busy, but we noticed that the restaurant was full and seemed to have enough people waiting to fill all of the tables again and then some. We finally gave up after 3 hours past our reservation. Another couple and us had been talking, and they were going home, but they told us that they discovered what happened about the triple book of the restaurant. We had drunk our champagne the restaurant was giving all of us, first, saying apologies. And while we were waiting, we called another favorite restaurant way across town, which had the opposite problem. A bunch of their reservations had no-showed, so the restaurant was pretty much empty when we got there. We ended up getting royal treatment at that point, which was pretty cool. A different year, we decided to go to a special dinner at a restaurant that we had always wanted to try. Every single course was wrong for some reason. The first course was a risotto. We saw it being delivered to the next table, right next to us. We were so excited to get ours, until we did. We shared the WTF glance at each other, confused because the plates we received looked half the size with a bunch of missing ingredients. The plates were completely a mess, as if someone just scraped the bottom of the pan, dumped it on our plates, and rushed it over. I had a protein that someone cut completely wrong, and it was basically nothing but fat and gristle. One of the courses was a very inappropriate temperature. I think they even made one of our cocktails completely wrong, and we had to send it back. Like, they used gin instead of vodka in a cocktail on their menu that had the ingredients listed. So, like, your bartender can't even figure out what alcohol they're supposed to use. The timing was insanely off on all the courses as well. The letter I wrote them after was pretty unhinged. I did give them another go since they begged us to try them out again, owning up to their mistakes and giving us a gift certificate to come back, which I really did appreciate. I will say that I do recommend them now and have since had multiple great meals and happy hours with them. Shout out to Clark Lewis. Fun fact. Friends and I would joke about Grimm episodes because they were filmed there. They were always having a drink at Clark Lewis. I can't imagine having a drink at Clark Lewis, especially often. And I definitely can't imagine cops doing happy hour there. They have a good happy hour, but not that good. I started attending a friend's smaller annual triple X party for Valentine's Day. It was pretty tame, even though it sounded scandalous. There was a costume contest, and the theme was pajamas or lingerie. Very fun white elephant-style gift exchange was the night's entertainment. Most of it was sex toys. And if you got a vibrator in the gift exchange, we'd load them up with batteries and race them across the table. So there was extra prizes if your vibrator won the race. There were vintage Playboy magazines everywhere and all sorts of saucy decorations in good fun. Here's something that I have noticed. People comfortable with discussing sex are also very into consent. The people who get very weird and shameful about it turn out to be the creeper on the news who rapes and or collects child porn. So one year, I brought a friend with me, and she was a dominatrix on the side. I gave her my white elephant winnings since it was a kit for expanding one's entrances. So she said that her current submissive would really love it. And I love making people happy. Adorably, a week later, she sent me a photo of him on his knees dressed as a French maid. But I couldn't see his face, which was completely fine. She said that he says thank you very much for his gift. That made my day. It also made me laugh since I mentally filed it into the images on my phone that might confuse people or prevent me from running for office. This year, 2026, I saw that a local Portlander, well, a newer local person that people know and love as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark herself, had been asking about horrible dates in honor of the holiday, Valentine's Day, for a collaboration she's doing with something and earning prizes. I read the entries later, and honestly, they weren't that bad compared to what I'm about to share. I have a doozy, which I'm not sharing with her on the site sponsoring it because it's pretty lengthy. And buckle up, because you can't prepare yourself for the one and only date I have ever been on. My partners and I would, of course, go out with each other, but this was the only time that I went on a date to meet and get to know a person. Even better is that it technically was a blind date. I was in high school. I am 50 years old now. 2 years after this event occurred, I was engaged with a person for 5.5 years. After we ended, I became involved with somebody else 4 months later. We were together for 10 years before we got married, living together for another 10 years as married. None of that really affects this story, but it might give you a bit of insight and explain that I am capable of being with people in a long-term capacity. This maybe makes me feel like I'm sane or sane enough that my words ring true on this story enough because I can't believe this nightmare actually happened. When I was in high school, I didn't really date. I ran away from home as a teen, disappeared for a year. I had a lot of academics to make up for it. And I suddenly found myself realizing that colleges actually want you to apply with academics to get in. In the state of Washington, when I was in high school, most of the students had arranged their schedules so that their senior year could be focused on applying to colleges versus attending classes. Many seniors had gotten enough points and grades in their first 3 years of high school so that their senior year schedule was maybe 1 to 3 classes total. They used the resources at the school to get their letters of intent and references, work on their essays, and work on their college applications. I could have done similar, but I chose to stay an extra year with a full class load and extra courses that were actually fun to take, like Shakespearean theory, art, and music. I was in the varsity choir, and I had managed to gain a position in jazz vocal ensemble as a first soprano. When starting my senior year, I called one of my guy friends, and he had mentioned interest in me, which I ignored. His older brother would answer the phone, and he sounded really hot. I was 18. And I know he was at least 21, but I think he might have been 23. After months of him randomly answering the phone and flirting, he started asking me out. And my friend was pissed. Finally, I agreed. And my friend and I were never the same after that. When you do something extremely self-centered, like I did, the universe has a way of helping you realize what a bad idea that was. I am pretty certain that it was within a day or two of our conversation that we had our date. I was so nervous. He shows up to pick me up and is actually gorgeous, like painfully gorgeous, dressed just impeccably. My mom comes to my room and gets me, is giving me the, wow, this guy is smoking hot. Thumbs up. He looked very sophisticated, wearing dark dress pants, a dark shirt, smart belt, designer glasses frames. I had not really been on many actual dates, so when he asked what I wanted to do, I tried to play it cool. I offered to introduce him to the City Nightclub. This spot in downtown Portland had 3 different dance floors and a very bad reputation. Set in a pretty sketchy area, like to your left, about 2 blocks, prostitutes were walking to your right. Or sex workers, if you prefer. You're likely to see a dealer looking to sell if you look to your right. So this was when crack, PCP, and heroin were popular, making interactions with people sometimes extra spicy. Like, are they out of their mind or are they drugged out of their mind? I remember a few friends and I were trying to get the keys to a friend's nearby apartment. The buses in Portland would stop running around midnight or 1 a.m. They started back up around 6 a.m. After leaving the club at 2 a.m., we were tasked to find somewhere to spend about 4 hours before the buses started running again. Sometimes we could crash in a friend's apartment. Sometimes we would be stuck at, like, a local restaurant. There is a long list of places that no longer exist. If you were around during my day and age, you would know them very well and can list them all off because they were the only places that were open 24 hours. Several friends of mine had apartments or access to apartments downtown. Waiting outside of the City Nightclub, and it really was called the City Nightclub, one evening we saw a handful of drug deals happen. Then we spotted a fantastically tall trans person of color wearing a gold lamé pantsuit with a plunge neckline, a feather boa, and spiked stiletto heels. That wig made her even more gloriously tall. I loved watching her walk up and down the block like she owned the place. You know how each person has their confidence booster? Walk into the room with that anthem or something you envision. Maybe a cape? Or you stand your ground, visualization. Mine is that sex worker. That is the energy I was trying to bring on my date with this guy. My high school friend's older brother. I own this club. As a teenager, I didn't want to eat in front of him, so I vetoed any local food situation. But when we got to the City Nightclub, I started realizing I wasn't comfortable dancing with or in front of him, so we sat down and I chain smoked, trying to figure out ways to be cool or at least look cool. Keep in mind, I'm 18. He kept telling me how hot I looked. So I guess I just sit here and look pretty? Once he felt comfortable, he was rapid fire giving me one compliment after another. You have the nicest legs. Wow, they look so good. What are those that they're in? I said, I'm wearing tights. I realize now that he was contemplating how to get me out of each garment of clothing that I was wearing while complimenting me on each item or body part. Likely he also had zero interest in anything I had to say, which worked since I didn't know what to say. I was not used to being treated like an object. And it was really...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Making me less interested by the minute. I feel like this night made me very much never want to be treated like an object again. It was autumn 1993. And I was committed to wearing rayon everything. I was in a rayon shirt with a matching rayon shorts over the previously mentioned tights, a chunky pair of clog-heeled shoes. My outfit was head-to-toe black, like usual. He kept patting my legs while commenting on my beauty, my poise, my voice, everything, to the point where I think I actually started kissing him just to get him to stop. It was exhausting. Even as a teenager, there are only so many compliments that you want to hear when it just becomes noise. It also feels really rehearsed and disingenuous. I had a lot of experience with people who would compliment me because they were trying to get something. I was raised by parents who would tell me, "Yes, you are lovely." But really, honey, you want people who appreciate what you have to say and your brain. I learned the hard way early in life, and I continue to learn, even now, how accurate that truly is. I kept getting increasingly more nervous, and I really don't remember dancing even once. So I don't think I did. I also do not think we were there very long. I just remember He was very over the top into me and was almost acting like we had been together long term. I was trying to figure out how to face his brother or ever be able to call his house again, especially since I had been deciding I wanted no future contact with this guy. Even though I effectively was making out with him, I wanted to go home quickly, but I was concerned about being rude and trying to come up with an exit, like, wow, it's been fun, but explosive diarrhea? He suddenly wanted to leave, and I think he probably was trying to get me alone. At the time, though, I was thinking of ways to get him to drive me straight home and how to pull the bait and switch. Saying, oh, I'll call you, and then ghosting his creepy self. We both had different agendas, but our exit was when the true problems started. His car wouldn't start, and through an exhausting amount of dialogue, I discovered his car was known to be unreliable. He says at first that he thought he ran out of gas, but his gauge for that didn't work. He says that he had been worried that we would run out of gas, which is horrible, since the drive to the club and back is pretty long. Yet, he'd acted like he was ready to drive cross country. I explained to him that his battery was dead. He asked how I knew that. I then explained, after he argued with me about it, I was amazed that a person who did not know if they had gas in their car was now an expert on his car. But his compliments to me completely ceased the second that I showed knowledge or an opinion about a thing. Before I was taught to drive my mom's sports car, I was required to do maintenance on it with my mom. Sports cars run a very hot engine, and they go through spark plugs and oil so fast that I was gapping spark plugs at 17 and shopping for a racing clutch that you pull in a lot. It was the only clutch we could find after an extensive search, and it was a fraction of the money versus a new one. My parents' house was in Le Centre, Washington, which is about 45 minutes to an hour from downtown Portland. He had told me he lived in Vancouver, which is on the way to Le Centre. I'd never been to his brother's house, which is also his house, so I had no reason to think that he did not live in Vancouver. I was mortified, since I'm imagining I was going to have to do the horrific thing. No one wants to call their parents at 1 a.m. to come fetch them. But I was navigating my way home, thinking that, even if we jumpstart the battery, he said he's out of gas, or we're just going to be stranded on the freeway, aka not in a public place, on the journey home. A very nice group of teenage ladies were parked across the street. I waved them down against the wishes of the guy who had suddenly turned into a car mechanic. I tried not to laugh when the van owner offered to jumpstart his car, while raising an eyebrow at his insistence that the battery was fine and that he was out of gas. The driver of the group had jumper cables, and he finally shut up. They worked on trying to jumpstart the car, while I chatted up the very bubbly and sweet group of gals. I honestly wanted to be as far away from him as I could, and I was getting embarrassed as his behavior became more and more douchey. I could hear the strain on their van engine every time he tried to turn over his car. The city nightclub was queer friendly, with a separate dance space for us more goth and dark wave leaning people. The majority of people were dressed like unicorns, drag queens, fetish-leaning people, hyper-color. The sweet teens trying to help us looked like a beautiful glitter bomb had gone off. They had begun asking where I lived, and when I said Le Centre, I was amazed by their excitement. In some crazy twist of fate, they lived in Woodland, Washington, which is one exit further down I-5 from Le Centre. So I genuinely was on their way home. I could not believe that was so perfect. What luck. I was now very excited to be going home. My exhaustion was growing. His car, over and over again, would not start to turn over. It would start to turn over, but it wouldn't spark. I attempted to state there is something wrong, perhaps with his starter. He was becoming more aggressive, demanding to keep trying. I was about to yank the plugs off myself when he finally relented, saying this is what he gets for parking on 13th Street, which now doesn't exist. The drive to Vancouver was stupid. He whined the entire half hour about me having to go into his house while me and the van full of dear teen girls kept insisting that they drive me home. He also was slowly giving instructions for them to drive him home to Vancouver, constantly saying we were almost there. We ended up in Washougal, which, by the way, is not in Vancouver. It is way, way past Vancouver. He made a scene, and I really should have shut the door and made them drive off. He kept saying how he would drive me home, and he had another vehicle, and saying that he didn't want them to go out of their way. But he was out of their way, and driving me home would actually be on their way. He would not stop insisting that they were begging me to let them drive me home. And it was approaching 4 a.m., so I just got out and let them go. It was loud, it was unhinged, and I felt like I should just let them go out of kindness because the poor gals needed to get home and were already ridiculously out of their way. I did not realize that my friend and his brother lived with their grandparents because their mother had apparently been deemed unfit. My friend did not talk about his childhood, his brother, or his family. How did I learn that this guy and my friend, his brother, lived with their grandparents? Because as we entered the house, it woke up his grandmother, grandfather, and my friend from high school, who all came into the living room in a very aggressive tone, which matched the two young adults, us, entering a dwelling at 4 a.m. Also, the guy was not even trying a little to be quiet or respectful at entering the rather frightening house. We walked into what resembled a hoarding situation. I was overwhelmed, trying to find just a place to sit down or perhaps a hole to crawl up and die in. I was now listening to three people screaming various obscenities at the guy who I technically had just met less than 12 hours ago. His grandparents were using everything from racial slurs to a variety of colorful language. Okay, my parents and I were really free with our cuss words, though we tried a more delicate vernacular while out in public. The racist remarks were a bit shocking, as I was not raised around that. It was also confusing as to how both my friend from high school and his brother were mixed race, though their grandparents looked to be both very white. I do believe that his grandfather called me a whore, while at the same time saying that it was nice to meet me. The brother directed me to sit on the couch while I mumbled, "Can you please take me home now?" over and over again. He ignored me and his grandparents. His grandmother was going on and on about talking to someone in the kitchen, perhaps the Holy Spirit. I was giving my friend from high school a look, begging him to help, so he started saying that I seemed very much to be wanting to go home, while at the same time he was looking at me like I tried to tell you not to date my brother. That look That was the ultimate I told you so moment. I will quickly note that the smell of coffee makes me physically ill. If I wasn't already suffering enough, the smell of burning coffee, which his grandmother was making or burning, definitely added to that suffering with a side of nausea. I should mention that the entire house was tiny, but filled to the brim with a lot. So boyfriend vanished through a hall of this hoarder's paradise, lined with papers, magazines. He came out with a photo album to show me pictures. I noticed that there was a female who looked very much like me, down to the way our hair was cut, and my jaw was now hitting the floor. She looked older than me, but seriously, she really looked like me. It was weird. Like a pile of my modeling pictures. They were modeling pictures, but they weren't mine. She just looked like me, and it even looked like some of my actual modeling photos down to how I would pose in the pictures. I was more curvy and athletic, and she was clearly at least a few years older than me. I asked who this was. Like, what kind of guy shows a photo montage of an ex on the first, even the second date? When I asked if it was an ex, he actually quickly corrected it, saying it was his ex-wife. Check, please. Dude had already been married and divorced while I just started my senior year in high school? Surely I'm being punked, and a group's gonna jump out at any moment laughing that I fell for this insane trap. I really didn't know where to go with that and thought, okay, go back to your ex. So, why did you break up, since you must miss her by your photo album that you clearly have held on to? Then he said their relationship went sour while he was in prison. I was too scared and horrified to ask him why he went to jail. My brain was already broken as his grandparents continued to yell. They never stopped. And we're at what felt like an hour later as I'm watching the smoke in the room lingering. His grandfather has also turned on the television so he can yell over the TV while watching it. I began to say, my parents are going to call the police unless I'm home before sunrise, as I was listening to the first birds of the morning starting up along with the first rays from the sunrise. The brother said that he's going to get me home soon, but that it was very important to him that I met his family. That someday they could be your family. I then realized that I might actually be starting down the barrel of a true Texas Chainsaw Massacre situation, or perhaps his grandfather would burst into a priest and marry us right then. I took a new tactic. And I moved closer to his grandfather and continued to get louder, saying, I really need to be driven home as soon as possible, or my parents are going to call the police. His grandfather was relentless in saying that I needed to not be there. I wanted to make it very clear that I did not want to be there, but until somebody drove me home, they were stuck with me. I also started planning ways to perhaps be more annoying. Although it might help me leave, but not get murdered, maybe, if I was annoying just enough that they'd want me to exit. My ride home was a whole new creepy event. His grandfather wasn't about to allow his brother to drive me home in his vehicle. It was a very old Plymouth, I think. It felt like a grandparent's vehicle and had that vinyl seating, making anyone riding in it extra uncomfortable. It also had that smell of mothballs and medicine, which was almost relieving over the coffee. I was just happy to finally be heading towards my home during the longest drive I feel that I have ever had. This creeper was actually trying to not just make out with me in the back seat of the car, but I was actively shoving his wandering hands, which were everywhere on my body. Worse was that his grandfather was leering into the rearview mirror at me, like he was enjoying the show, yet also hating me. It was horrifying in ways I just can't even possibly describe.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
The second that car landed in my driveway, I jumped out of the car, running to the door and barely waving bye. My father famously did not sleep much. This is a trait I also inherited. My dad was very cool, sitting on the couch, reading his paper. He raised an eyebrow, looked at the clock, looked at me. The sun was definitely up, and I'm pretty sure it was around 6:30 a.m. at this point. He made a comment that I must have had a really good time since I was sauntering in after the sun had already come up. I was frantically watching the grandfather's car slowly backing out of the driveway. The stop sign was just past our lawn, and he seemed to park there for an eternity before finally continuing down the street. I let out a genuine sigh and said that I don't want to talk about it, but that is likely the last date that I will ever go on. He did inquire if I was okay and said I did not have to say anything more than that, but he was concerned. I said I'm safe now, and I'm just grateful to be home, saying I probably just need to process the adventure that I just had before putting it into words. And that's not where this ends. This date was like an STD, only with zero chance for a cure. I did ghost him, and this was decades ago when we did not have cell phones. Over the next few months, he left messages. I was a teenager with my own phone line, which had an answering machine. That was our social media back then. We didn't really have any other thing. His messages would come in spurts at odd hours, like when I was in school. Like he knew that I was in high school. He knew I was in high school. So my parents started unplugging my phone during the day versus hearing it ringing in my room all day. Some messages were really aggressive. Some were hangups. One message every few days awkwardly saying, "Oh, it's me," with his numbers and this long explanation to basically, if this rings busy, since his grandparents have a party line to save money, and what to do if that happens. Yes, this was a thing. But it took months for him to finally stop. So during the spring, I was up for state competition as a soprano, and also with both choirs. So we were traveling as a group to the Folk Music Festival in Seattle, Washington, with a stop for our competing with the choirs in Redmond, Washington. Neither choir scored a position, although we really just wanted to perform and didn't care as it was. I was shocked when I got enough points for second in soprano for the state of Washington, since I was voluntold to compete. The weekend before we were leaving for the choral trip, I was doing my packing. It was a Sunday, and there's a knock at the front door of my house. I answered, just figuring it was some kid down the street selling candy or something. We all knew our neighbors, and everyone would randomly drop in just to say hi or borrow tools. Imagine my surprise that after quite a few months, it was him, standing there, smiling, saying that he just happened to be in the area. Let me explain something. No one in the history of ever has just been randomly in the neighborhood in La Center, Washington. Those are facts. La Center, Washington is a town pretty well isolated to where getting there involves its very own freeway off-ramp that is a winding road up and down roller coaster hills across the Lewis and Clark River through a nature park. The town did have a few casinos that were tiny and one general store, literally called the General Store. It had one gas pump. The gas pump was very old-timey, so no one is just in the area of La Center randomly. I completely freaked out. I went into full flight or fight mode as a teenager. I called my best friend, who lived in Battleground, which was sort of two towns over. She thought I was losing my mind because I was practically yelling into the phone, "Oh, you need me to go there right now? Oh, you need me to pick that up right now." I told him, "Oops, gotta run now, because I'm traveling and borrowing my friend's sleeping bag. She has to have me get it right now because she's leaving town in about, like, right now." Looking back on it, I was so freaked out and traumatized by our date that I had zero consideration for anything but escape. I barely said goodbye to my mother, who I now feel I was leaving in the arms of some crazy person. My mom was a tough broad, but still, us teens have a lot to apologize for. I was at my friend's house for hours, practically crying and screaming. She and I were both in shock. She even confirmed that he had finally not called at all for a few months. So why was he suddenly popping back up? He'd even sort of leaned in to try to kiss me when I was trying to get out of hugging him. Then I rushed home, realizing that this psycho might have been murdering my mom this whole time. There was a bit of that hill that you drove to get to the intersection of my parents' house. My house is on the corner of that, only set back a bit due to a large yard. I see his car still parked in front of the street, or in front of the house, on the street. In small town fashion, our streets lacked sidewalks, so it was right against the yard where you'd leave your trash cans for pickup. I feel like I sat in the car for a bit, dreading entering the house, because the car is there, so figuring he's still there. Finally, entered the house cautiously. My mom immediately starts yelling. What in the heck was that? Fast forward. She and I having a genuine conversation where I tell her about the horrible date situation, apologizing for being too ashamed to tell her what had happened to begin with. I explain that he had finally stopped stalking me, I thought, because the phone call stopped. She said that explains a lot because he was practically asking for my hand in marriage, saying how into me he was. She was confused, but humored him. I had not mentioned him once after the date we went on, so she just figured he bored me. I had a lot of guy friends that I hung out with who would pick me up, and she did not press me about it, figuring if it was anything, I would have said something to her. It had been years since I had a boyfriend, and I was pretty clear that I was hyper-focused on school grades and college applications. My mom then tells me he stayed a long time, and when he finally went to leave, guess what? His car would not start. You know, his reliable car. My mother had to drive him home to Washougal, which is not just a ridiculously long drive to and from Le Center, Washington, but my poor mother had to drop what she was doing and give him a ride. She and I actually had a pretty good laugh about it when I threw in him saying that he lived in Vancouver. She jumped in saying, "Oh my God, yes. He doesn't live anywhere near Vancouver. I had to drive him to Washougal." At the same time, I was like, wait, did he sabotage his car so that he had a reason to come back? I was haunted, and not in the good, like, Love and Rockets kind of way. I hoped maybe I would be out of town when he came to retrieve it. But when I got home, it was still there. I did not want to call. But I also did not want another ambush, so after a few weeks went by, I finally picked up the phone. I called my friend from school. I had found ways to avoid him at school, honestly, and I think maybe that was mutual, because he was that friend who would bust your balls about the smallest thing, and his brother stalking me was already awkward enough without his 2 cents on the situation. I left a very curt message saying, "Tell your brother that if he doesn't come get his damn car, I am going to have it towed very soon." I said something about street maintenance or made up some kind of excuse, like, "Your brother's car is going to end up becoming city property." 2 days went by. He leaves me a message back saying, "I'm so sorry. My brother died. And my mom wants to pick up the car, but it's going to take a few days for us to get up there." I was horrified. But I was also afraid to ask what happened. I tell my mom and she gasped. Okay, fast forward to my friend from school and his mom showing up at my parents' house with an hour pre-notice. I explained again to my mom that I really did not know what happened to his brother. But we were stalking the front window until I noticed them walking around the car and looking to see how to attach it, because we learned later that they were just going to tie it behind his car to tow it with rope. So we slowly walked down the lawn to greet them, offering our condolences. His mother immediately started hugging me. I was exceptionally uncomfortable because she seemed really familiar with me. She kept aggressively starting to touch me, petting my hair, stroking my hand with her hands. It was very awkward and felt extremely invasive, especially when she started saying, "No wonder he loved me so much," and how sorry she was that we were not going to give her grandbabies like he talked about. Even more confusion from my mother, since I have never wanted to have children. Like, ever. Ever, ever. Our wedding would have been so beautiful. I began making the help me eye contact with my mom, who looked like that deer staring at the headlights that are about to run it down. Both of us were extremely confused, because again, I had been on one horrific date that lasted far too many hours. I then tried to ghost this crazy person who showed up at my doorstep. I spent more time and had more of a relationship with his car than him. And that was me flipping off the car every day that it was parked in front of my parents' house without my consent. His mother spent several hours going on and on and on as we tried everything we could think of to get them to leave. My mom made several mentions of appointments or, "Wow, how late is it getting? Oh, we don't want to keep you," but it just kept getting weirder. As she rambled on, we found out that her son had somehow found himself in the apartment of the ex-wife from the photo album that I was forced to see. She was living in this new apartment with her new husband. I was assured by his mother that my fiancé, yes, you heard that right, was only trying to resolve some paperwork discrepancy with his ex-wife. She also kept saying over and over that the new husband was black. I don't know what that had to do with anything beyond her having to say it repeatedly as if his blackness had somehow caused the death of her son. She then switched gears, casually dropping that he was found dead on their couch. The next bombshell was that he died of a gunshot wound to the head, and that it was stated as if we totally knew this entire story already. According to her, the police said it was self-inflicted. However, the gun was said to have not been in his hand, but someone had hid it under the couch that he was sitting on. The next theory she brought up was that he was done in by the mob because he knew something he was not supposed to. It was very hard to be around because I get that she's lost her son, but she started spiraling, talking about really nonsensical things. We were relieved when suddenly she said she needed to go and marched off, barely saying goodbye. I now realize she was struggling with something, and it was like that light switch in her head said, okay, and you are done. Many years later, that friend, well, that former friend, randomly called me saying he was on his way over. We were pen pals in that I would send all my friends holiday cards, so he had my address. When he got there, he awkwardly started demanding weird information about my boyfriend, who later became my husband. He had met my ex a few times and would make backhanded comments about me clearly dating the wrong person. So during this time in my life, we didn't have much language around toxic masculinity, but he was definitely in that category of a friend that I would not voluntarily be alone with. Reflecting back on my 20s, I realized that I did have to keep a few people I was able to keep at arm's length for one reason or another. I do not feel like the feeling that someone might have an agenda, but also have been blindsided by people making remarks towards me that were pretty inappropriate, sometimes done specifically aimed at me, like they were getting away with saying pretty horrific things because I was in a relationship. I had to end several friendships due to that disrespect. In this case, he was trying to be smart and hit on me, like we were having some secret conversation in front of my partner. It was pretty awful and shocking. But that is that on my one and only blind date. Thank you and good night.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.